And welcome to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. My name is Nathan Liao. And I'm up here on the wall bringing you the news, the reports, the happenings, and the information of what is coming upon the land. And from this location, I must report that the signs from Almighty God are all about. His tokens from heaven are expressing with a loud voice, but very few people can hear. It is an utterance that says time is running out. It is a thunder that declares that the waters of annihilation are in their final approach. It is a mandate with his signature that proclaims, "It shall be done." It is a warning that is falling on deaf ears. The people in the village refuse to listen because they're too busy wandering in their passions. But still, God in his mercy is trying to awaken them, but they will not stir. So he planted a vineyard in their midst with a cluster of his signs, signs that would rally their concern, but in their slumber, they've not seen. And in their blindness, they pushed aside the leaves of God's warning vineyard, and they stepped over the vines. And looking upwards, they said a prayer to the wind, and they asked fate to send them more of the same, so that tomorrow would be just like today. Send us more passion and an abundance of pretend, and then we shall prosper, was their prayer. And with the words amen leaving their lips, they turned and walked back through God's warning vineyard, leaving behind them a trail of trampled grapes. But these were no ordinary grapes. These are the grapes of God's judgment and wrath, whose portion the people crushed under their own feet. My friends, the warnings of God have been spoken, and the task to sound the alarm is in motion, and it has been for quite some time. God has been crying out through various voices, but sadly, there are many that refuse to heed the words. There are very few that are taking the time to pause and consider what time it is. So what time is it? It's a late hour, and great events are approaching this land. And I know that I say this on every program, but folks, the people must know and hear that the next events are advancing. And that's what this ministry is all about. Talking about these things, warning about these things, and discussing how to prepare to face these things. We have to do it, folks, because only a remnant is going to endure. And being a part of that remnant does not happen by accident. It doesn't happen with a roll of the dice and getting lucky. This is not about luck. There is no luck. You're either dealing with matters of the heart or you're not. Folks, today I'm going to be sharing another very, very serious message. And this program is going to be jam-packed with revealing information that all Christians must know and that all people must hear. There is a plan by the devil to deceive this world into believing a lie, a big lie. A lie that's going to play a role in sending many into eternity without God. Now, this program is going to be part 4 of the Olympic Ceremony series. And folks, please share these messages, because I believe that they're some of the most intense exposés on what the New World Order is doing and is planning to do to this world and to all of the population of this world. So again, please share this audio message. Also get a pen, some paper to take notes, and your Bible. And if this is the first episode that you have heard, each one of these audio messages builds on the other. So please go back when you have a chance and listen to the other parts. They're available at watchmanscry.com. That's WATCHMANSCRY.com. Up to this point, this series is looking to be 7 or more parts. I'm pretty sure it could even be 8. 9 or even 10 parts. My friends, I want to encourage you to please listen to all of them, because I believe that they're going to give a perspective on the end times and the New World Order that many Christians may not have. Also, real quick, if you appreciate this ministry and the efforts that we are doing on this project, our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website and contact us there. Okay, folks, let's get started. Again, this is part 4. Also, I plan to put up some images in the images and notes page, and it can also be found on my homepage at watchmanscry.com. On the right side, there will be an image that says Table of Contents. You can click on there, and it will go to the contents of all of these audio messages. Now, today I'm going to continue with our examination and expose on the Olympic ceremony that just occurred. As most of you know, that ceremony was a very dark occultic ritual that had many hidden messages. And these messages were in several categories, and they revealed the New World Order Illuminati plan of coming world events. They also revealed their loyalties, they revealed pagan symbolism, and they also revealed what they plan to do. They have a plan, folks. And as I have been dissecting the ceremony piece by piece, it's amazing how their plan is lining up with the end time warning found in Scripture. It's amazing how we can see prophecy unfold before our very eyes. Now, I want to give a warning, and I also want the warning to be packaged in a challenge, and that is this. As end time Berean Christians who seek to be wise in the things of God, from time to time it is necessary to examine the schemes of the enemy. And by so doing, at times, it may be difficult to look at the schemes. And I'm saying this because today we're going to be looking at some things that may probably be some of the most difficult truth that we can study. Because when we look at the things that are going to come upon this earth in the very last days, and when we read the events that are found in the book of Revelation, the narrative can be disturbing. But my friends, we need to look at them from a spiritual point of view and with an eternal perspective. What this means is that if you are a child of God, your pilgrimage and your life on this earth is just a temporary thing. This is not our home, folks. Our home is a city whose builder is God. Our home has a promise of eternal life. And our promise of eternal life tells us through the Scriptures, we can't even imagine how beautiful it's going to be. And when we get there, we're also going to confess one to another that the sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared on how beautiful it's going to be while we're there. The sea of glass, the golden streets, the glory of God waits for all of those that are the children of God. And when I say children of God, I mean those that have confessed that Jesus is Lord, those that have repented, those that have dealt with their sins. Now, I have to be very, very specific as I'm talking about the things of God on this program, because as we progress in this audio message, it's going to become apparent that there are beliefs out there in the world that are false, and there are deceptive beliefs that the world holds on to that also use some of the same talking points as Christians. And as we examine today's message, you'll see what I'm talking about. So, up front, my friends, let us boldly examine these things, because, folks, these things must be studied and understood. They must be, because in the end times, a great, very powerful delusion is going to overshadow the entire world. And like a sludge, it's going to filter into the church. And many people who call themselves Christians are going to find themselves deceived and swept away by lies, by the great delusion. And the reason that this is going to happen is because, according to Scripture, they had no love for the truth, which means they didn't read their Bible, and they didn't study their Bible, and they didn't get a hold of the truth that is found in the Bible. So, my friends, that is our assignment. That is your assignment. If you're a mother or a father, it is your duty to teach these things to your children. It's your duty to teach these things to your loved ones, to share them with your family. Again, my friends, I believe that this topic is so important that I would even say that it is a matter of end time life and death. I know that those are strong words, but based on what I saw happen at the Olympic ceremony, there is a very deceptive plan in motion right now that, according to the Bible, is going to deceive many people and send them to hell. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to be deceived, and neither do you. Therefore, we got to know this stuff. To the end time student that may be listening right now, I'm going to present some things today that most Christians are not anticipating. And my friend, without anticipation, you're going to get sucker punched. Without anticipation, you will be attacked from behind. Without anticipation, the Trojan horse will be welcome into the courtyards of Christians and admired for its beauty. And if you're a regular listener, you have heard me constantly maintain that in these end times, there are going to be unexpected prophetic curveballs. In other words, there are going to be prophecies that will play out in a way that was not considered or anticipated. And today, I'm going to present one of these topics. Again, please take notes and pray about what you hear. Now, to get started, I want to do a brief synopsis. What do we know so far? We know that America is a part of the great plan to lead the world into the New World Order single world government. And in some of our previous episodes, we went into detail about this. We talked about how the dollar is going to fail and how the world financial system is going to be crushed in the days ahead. And to the student that studies the writings of the New World Order, it's been revealed that these are their motives. They have a long-range goal. And some of these goals are very, very old. Albert Pike wrote about them many, many years ago. Manly P. Hall wrote about them. And they articulated and they revealed their plans and their ideals. We've also learned that they have a reverence for the quote-unquote eye. And we've examined that this is the eye of Ra, the eye of Horus, Osiris, Providence, and even the eye of Lucifer. We've studied how the Illuminati End Time New World Order has a lot of different tentacles, a lot of different groups that are involved, and they also love symbology. And their symbols reveal volumes of commentary. Now, in the day-to-day life of most people that wake up and walk about and live their life in an existence that is temporary, for most people, the truth is ignored. Most people do not want to know the truth. It's too hard to bear. But in spite of that fact, the truth is still reality, and the truth is still the truth. So folks, in this life that we're living, there is truth and there's fiction. There's make-believe and there is the unknown. And when it comes to world events that are going to have a major impact on our lives, if we are discerning Christians, we need to know about what's going to happen. And we can know in advance that these things are going to happen. We can know in advance that some of these plans are in motion, and we can know in advance through discernment and through knowledge. And over the last several years, God has been warning His people that the future is going to bring distress to America, to this nation. And God has allowed some of His messengers, some of His watchmen, and even some of His people to see glimpses of the coming terrain. And I know that some of you have seen some of those glimpses. I know that some of you have received prophetic dreams from God and experienced prophetic visions. This is happening on a massive scale that seems to be increasing more and more in these last days. And with the glimpses that I have seen of things that are coming, I can say this, folks, that as the events of darkness continue to arrive, they're going to start to overwhelm many people with dread. And many people who thought themselves strong Christians are going to be reduced to trembling children, shaking in fear. It's going to be hard for many people to bear. And the Bible prophesies about this, men's hearts failing them for fear. So folks, I don't want to see any of you having your heart failing because the events and the things that you are viewing are so overwhelming. We need to know up front what they have planned, and we need to know up front some of the chapters of things that are going to come. Because get this, folks, after the events arrive, there's also going to be an aftermath. And for the people that do not know what's coming, how are they going to deal with the aftermath? How many people are going to be saying, "Why didn't my pastor warn me that it was coming?" There's going to be a lot of angry people sitting their pastors down and asking them this very question. And by the way, side note, if you happen to be a spiritual leader and you have people that depend on you for truth or for discipleship or for training, I want to challenge you, my friend. Warn God's people that they got to get stronger and they got to get ready and they got to get prepared. And whether or not people get ready, it's still going to be reality. This nation is no longer the complete nation that it once was. Poverty is in the increase. Crime is on the increase. Layoffs are in the increase. And folks, as I mention these things, please know this. That's just the very beginning. Because as I watched the Olympic ceremony, and as I saw with my very eyes the boldness of these people to reveal the darkness that they're going to thrust this earth into, I found myself wanting to shout from the housetops that we got to get stronger and we got to get ready for this new frontal attack. Folks, the next phase has started. And for those that want to hide within the walls of Pretendville, my friends, very soon all of society is going to be thrust into the reality. And for some people, it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late to prepare, too late to know what's going on. And sadly, many people are going to end up victims. Physical victims as well as spiritual victims. Now, as I was saying, there's a laundry list of events that are approaching. And thus far in the first few episodes of our programs, we have been talking about how they revealed that tyranny is coming. And in our last program, we talked about Vulcan's rain of fire that is coming. Now, if this is the first episode that you have heard, in part 3 of this series, we talked about a creature, an entity, or even a gruesome, dreadful villain that may be coming to this planet. We examined him in detail, and based on the things that I was able to uncover, I believe that it could very well be possible that part of the revelation that the Olympic ceremony had for the world was to announce the coming of their exalted one. Their false messiah, their dark prince, who is going to place a ring in the nostrils of this world and lead them astray. And if you haven't heard part 3, please listen to it, folks. Because today I'm going to spend some time talking and building on top of some of the things that we learned in part 3 about this creature, this person, this thing. So if some of the words seem a little bit confusing, if you listen to part 3, it will make sense. Now, our entire program today is not going to be on this character, but part of it is. So that's why I'm saying this. Now, for the sake of simplicity, let's just call this creature guy the end time false messiah. I know that based on where you are with your study of this end time character, he goes by a lot of names. The Antichrist, the little horn, the son of perdition, the end time leader, the end time false messiah. There's a lot of terminology for this creature, but as I was looking at the symbology in the Olympic ceremony, and then when I took that symbology and I started to study in the scriptures his profile, and then as I started digging, folks, it was amazing that the rabbit hole just got deeper and deeper and how the dots started to connect. And based on what I was able to find out and uncover about what the New World Order believes as far as a false messiah and what the Illuminati is expecting, or the pagans or the New Age, most of the occultic false religions that are out there have an expectation for a messiah to show up. So I'm going to do my best to explain this. Please take a lot of notes, and if you have to, listen to this more than once. Now, in our last program, when we were examining this end time person, we found out that in the Bible, we can read about an individual that existed way back in the book of Genesis whose name was Tubal-Cain. And we also found out that the Illuminati has an obsessive respect for Tubal-Cain. In pagan mythology that expands several regions and several cultures, Tubal-Cain becomes a persona that takes on godlike characteristics, and then his name changes into other individuals and other entities. When I was examining these things, one of the names that continued to pop up was Vulcan. That's V-U-L-C-A-N. In the last program, I presented some of the beliefs about Vulcan, but since then, I have been able to uncover some things about this character, this persona, that goes even deeper than what I presented last week. So I'm going to talk about some of the other beliefs that have to do with this creature, Vulcan. Now, as I was looking at some of the other parts of Vulcan's profile in mythology, and by the way, side note, folks, if you find yourself wanting to also study these things, I say this in every program, but please cover yourself with the armor of God and with a lot of prayer if you want to research this information. But back to Vulcan. The Freemason Fraternal Order talks about Tubal-Cain and Vulcan, the god of the pagans. For those of you that remember in part 3, Vulcan, let's just say it like this, folks. Vulcan is the mythological quote-unquote god of fire and of metalworking. Tubal-Cain, who we find in the book of Genesis, is also a person that was the instructor of metallurgy and of weapons. And according to the occult and to pagans in the New Age, they are one and the same. They're the same person. And according to the Illuminati and the Freemason fraternity, they are the same person. And one of the symbols, as we spoke about in the past, for Tubal-Cain, according to the Freemasons, is two balls and a cane. Now, why does Tubal-Cain matter? Why does Vulcan matter? Well, here's why, folks. Because Satan, the god of this world, loves his symbology. He loves his riddles. He loves to try to create dark sentences and then offer them as a privilege to those that follow him. And when we look at the lineage of Tubal-Cain, we can see that Tubal-Cain comes from the line of Cain. Cain was the first person born on this planet to Adam and Eve. He was the first number one child. You remember that, folks? Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel. And in addition to the notoriety of being the first man-child born on the earth, Cain was also the first murderer on the earth. So from the very beginning, we see Cain as being the black sheep, so to speak. And because he murdered Abel, God banished him. And how interesting is it that the Freemasons choose the lineage and footsteps of Cain to follow and to inherit? Now, what does that tell us, folks? When we look down the lineage of Cain, by the time we get to seven generations from Adam, we have this person whose name is Tubal-Cain. He was the instructor of those that worked with metals, of iron and copper, bronze. So in our last program, we were discussing who taught him. Well, according to some of the folklore that's found in literature, Tubal-Cain was taught by fallen angels, by the angel Azazel, in exchange for his sister. So Azazel taught Tubal-Cain the knowledge of weapons and of metal. And then the earth began to experience the age of the Nephilim, the infiltration and contamination of demon seed, where the angels of God took for themselves wives from the daughters of men, and they gave birth to the children of the damned, the Nephilim, the demon creatures, the giants in the land, with six fingers and six toes. And that's a whole other program, but it was through the line of Cain that this happened, the tainted blood. Now, as we mentioned a moment ago, Tubal-Cain in mythology becomes Vulcan, the fire god, the god of forging, the god of metals. Over the passage of time, the legend of Vulcan has not gone away, because at the recent Olympic ceremony, Vulcan happens to be one of the coins that the Royal Mint produced to signify the quote-unquote gods of pagan mythology. We can see that Vulcan is an actual entity that has been acknowledged by the Olympics. As we examine further, we saw that his symbology was found during the ceremony. We went into that in the last program. But some of the things that I did not share were this. There were other representations of Vulcan I didn't have a chance to mention, so let me mention them now. Now, according to the Illuminati and the Fraternal Order of the Freemasons, Vulcan / Tubal-Cain is represented by the symbology of two balls and a cane, or two zeros and a cane, or two zeros and a seven. It's interchangeable, but 007, two balls and a seven, two balls and a cane, those symbols all represent Tubal-Cain and Vulcan. Now, folks, watch this. When you look at the two balls and a cane, or the two balls and a seven, you have the number two and the number seven. So two and seven also represent Tubal-Cain and Vulcan. Now, isn't it interesting and coincidental that the bell that Danny Boyle commissioned was the largest harmonically tuned bell in the world? And that bell weighed 27 tons. So there's the number, 2 and 7, Tubal-Cain. So the bell has Tubal-Cain's number. Also, the Olympic ceremony occurred on July the 27th, Tubal-Cain's number, 2 and 7. Also, on the Olympic Stadium, we had 14 pyramid Illuminati Eye of Ra light structures. When we look at the number 14, that is two sets of seven, two and seven. There it is again. So two and seven can be found in more symbology. Also, there's another area where Tubal-Cain is all over the place. And I plan for this to be one of the upcoming programs because I'm going to need a lot of time to talk about this. But just real quick, let me tell you what it is. When the portion of the ceremony that had that giant 80-foot tall demonic sorcerer guy on the field with the wand and all the children were on the beds. If you haven't seen the pictures, I'm going to put this on the website in the notes section. And by the way, some of these things that I'm mentioning are going to be in the notes section for part four. But in that segment of the ceremony, that was, according to Danny Boyle, supposed to represent Neverland, the fictional magic land of Peter Pan. Because at the very beginning of that segment, J.K. Rowling, the writer of the Harry Potter demonic witchcraft novels, read a portion from the Peter Pan story. And then the segment started where all the beds came in and the kids were jumping on the bed. And then the sorcerer came up and it was just a very dark segment of the ceremony. And I would say that watching that segment was, I believe, the most disturbing part of the whole Olympic ceremony. It was very obviously demonic. It was painted with demons and the occult. There was a very dark presence that was very obvious during that segment. And also, I believe that during that segment, several rituals took place in the invisible realm. And I'm going to talk about that in the future. But in that segment of the ceremony, there was a lot of symbology. And the nurses and the doctors that were pushing the beds around that had children on them made different words. And they made the beds into different images and pictures to send a message to the audience. They drew the image of the children's hospital, the Great Ormond Hospital. They illustrated the image of healthcare. And during one of the segments, they took the beds to the outer portion of the field and they formed two giant circles. There was a large outer ring that was made up of beds. And then inside of that, there was another ring that was also made up of beds. Now, these beds had glowing sheets on them. So if you could see the image from above, from the sky, it looked like a glowing ring. So what we saw with these beds, as you look down, were two rings. Again, two balls. So even in the demonic Neverland sorcerer portion of the ceremony, we again saw the two balls. Now, as far as the cane, if you have a chance to look at the images of the beds, I'm going to put this picture on the website. Each bed had a light fixture that was attached to the headboard. And this light fixture is in the shape of a giant cane. And at the end of the cane is a light. So every bed had the light of Tubal Cain shining on them. So in that section, again, folks, we had the two balls and many canes. And as I go into today's program, we're going to talk about the light of Vulcan. So why does Vulcan matter? Why does Tubal Cain matter in the Olympic ceremony? For some of you that may be asking that, Nathan, I see that he was a forger of metals, but what does that have to do with the New World Order? Now, as I presented in our last program, I believe that the end time false messiah that's going to appear is going to have a resume that is very long. He's going to have abilities that are unlike a normal human. Because based on what we read in the scripture, he's going to blaspheme God. He's going to have the ability to take the world in a course that history has never gone before. So he is going to have supernatural abilities, and he's going to have the ability to invoke the help from supernatural demonic creatures. He's going to have the ability of sorcery. He's going to be very intelligent, but there is something else that he's also going to do. And according to the writings of the occult, pagan literature, etc., this creature person Vulcan was kicked out of Mount Olympus because when he was born, he was too ugly. He was disfigured. So he was kicked out. And as he came down from the sky, he actually fell to earth for an entire day. And he landed on an island in the ocean. This island that he landed on was populated by creatures with one eyeball, the Cyclops. And he became their leader, and together they started manufacturing weapons, jewelry, all sorts of items that were made out of metal. And he was very artistic at this. And the Cyclops creatures helped him to do this. Now, when we pull back and look at that story from a biblical perspective, keep this in mind, folks. Most mythology that we can read about seems to follow the same pattern. Most mythology has a different country of origin, so it's imported. And when it's imported, some of the details might be changed, but if you go backwards to where it came from, you can usually see several jumps where it comes from one country to the next. For example, the story of Vulcan was a mythological creature for the Roman pagans. But before that, he was in Greece. And then before that, he was in another region. And as you follow the trail of Vulcan going backwards in time or backwards into the Old Testament, you can usually find where the name starts to change, some of his profile changes, and then we can see where he originated from. But Vulcan fell from the sky, from quote-unquote Mount Olympus. To mythology, the residents of Olympus are the gods. So Vulcan was kicked out of heaven and fell to earth. When we look in scripture, we can see that Satan was kicked out of heaven and fell to earth. Satan, he's the god of this world, but he deals with fire. He deals with weapons. He deals with flames. So we can start seeing the similarities of these two creatures. When Vulcan landed on the island and he became the leader of the Cyclops creatures, what we see there is basically Satan becoming the leader of the evil spirits. So now we can see that they are one and the same. During the Olympic ceremony, we saw that the mascots that were created for the 2012 Olympics were two Teletubby-looking creatures that had one eye. They were Cyclops creatures. So again, we can see the relationship to Vulcan. Now, in a future program, we're going to go in great detail on these characters, but according to the graphic design company who designed the mascots is a company called Iris Worldwide. By the way, that's interesting. Iris, again, the eye, worldwide. And the story is said that these two creatures were formed when the Olympic Stadium was being built and the steel workers were welding and some of the liquid steel dripped down, landed on the ground, and out of the puddle of liquid metal popped these two creatures. Now, that's the cartoony fun story that they tell to the kids when they publish the coloring books and the comic books about these creatures. But think about that. Again, these creatures are formed from liquid metal. We continue to see the symbology over and over, confirming itself. Vulcan worked with metal. The Cyclops creatures were helping him with metal. And we have the mascots of the Olympics that are Cyclops that were formed from liquid steel. Now, folks, again, there it is. The dark mythology is all over this thing. Now, why does that matter? Because those Cyclops creepy Teletubby creatures are really demons that are watching everybody. And in these end times, the message that was portrayed in this ceremony was that demons are going to be out there watching, lurking, making observations at what the people are doing. And these demons will also inhabit the bodies of people, the bodies of the SS secret police. Or here in the United States, these demons are going to inhabit the bodies of Homeland Security. The eye has been revealed, folks, and according to them, there will be no place to hide. Now, as the New World Order comes to fruition, they're going to want to have their new kingdom. The Bible tells us that it's going to be a kingdom made up of 7 heads and 10 horns. It's going to be worldwide. In our other programs, we have talked about that. The New World Order is going to be made up of different regions like the European Union. We're going to have the North American Union, the South American Union, etc., etc. In order for them to have their kingdom, they're going to need to have certain things. It's going to exist in several realities. The first reality will be in the philosophical reality, which translates to the idealistic, rah-rah, everybody loves the New World Order reason for existing. They will have their philosophical reason. And the New World Order is going to have their own version of patriotism that most of the world is going to believe in and fall for. So number one is philosophical. Number two is the physical. And of course, the physical is going to be, as I just stated, with the participants of the whole world in their prospective regions. Number three, it's going to exist in the spiritual. And the spiritual is where we witness the unseen forces that are the backbone of the end-time New World Order. Revelation 13 says the dragon gives it its power and its authority. So the spiritual forces of wickedness in high places worldwide, the wickedness of Satan is going to fuel the energy of the end-time New World Order. And folks, translated, that means that they're going to operate by different rules. They're not going to be as merciful as what we have witnessed in regular civilization. It's going to be a time like no other time. And Jesus said, unless the days were shortened, no one would be saved. So what we have is three parts, philosophical, physical, and spiritual. In the philosophical portion of the New World Order, the idealistic part, in order for this thing to happen, they are going to have to come up with a story that people can believe in. They're going to have to come up with an idea that people really want. And they're going to have to sell the world that it's a good idea, that it's a necessary idea, that it's the only idea. And based on the scripture, the world's going to choose this idea. So for them to have this idea come to fruition, they're going to need a ruler. And the Bible gives us some glimpses of the rulership of the end time beast, New World Order. It'll have 10 kings and the little horn will rise up. And then in Revelation chapter 17 and 18, we can read about the mystery harlot, the queen of Babylon, the queen who claims that she will never see sorrow. So like a queen bee of religion, the end time New World Order is going to have her Jezebel occupying the office of Babylon. So how is this going to play out? Will it play out with an actual physical woman that is part of the world leadership? Or will she be a spiritual leader? Will she be an advisor? Or is this entirely going to take place in the spiritual realm, in the unseen realm? Well, I believe it's going to take place in several ways. And that's where the Queen of Heaven comes in. And folks, they have a love for Mother Earth, for Gaia, for the Queen of Heaven, for the spirit of the woman that occupies the world. In a future program, we're also going to talk about that, but I'm mentioning it because when James Bond jumped out of the helicopter, he also was accompanied by the Queen of England. And the Queen of England represents the Queen of Heaven. So we are going to dig very deep with that one. Now, when we look at the physical portion of the New World Order end time kingdom, in the physical, they need architecture. They need to have their buildings constructed. They have to have their embassies and their capital buildings and their places to hold their meetings. So the New World Order needs an architect. So here's the question, folks. Who's the architect of the New World Order? Who gets to design everything? When we go back and look at Tubal-Cain, the worker of metal, and then we see that Tubal-Cain becomes Vulcan, according to some of the ancient literature, Vulcan becomes another entity by a different name. His new name in some of the writings becomes Mulciber, and that name is spelled M-U-L-C-I-B-E-R. Mulciber is a Latin word that means the smelter. But get this, folks. According to the occult, Mulciber was also the demon that was skilled in architecture who designed the capital city of hell. And the name of this city is called Pandemonium. And he made the palaces and the great halls and the buildings for Satan in the capital city, Pandemonium. Now, during the Olympic ceremony, when the Industrial Revolution portion began and all of those chimneys started rising up, the ceremony began with a pagan occultic band called Pandemonium. This band started pounding on drums. They had several musicians that were all drummers, and they started doing this very hypnotic drum beat. And the leader of this band appeared to be a person that was a witch. Her countenance was evil and dark, and she played a very devilish drum beat. And then we saw the ceremony begin with the satanic meals of the Industrial Revolution. So again, folks, over and over, the ceremony is bringing Tubal-Cain and Vulcan to the forefront. So here's what we have, folks. Tubal-Cain / Vulcan / Mulciber is the architect of hell. And what we saw in the ceremony had several layers. And we've talked about the surface layer. We've talked about the underlying layer in the program last week about Vulcan's foundry, the demon seed that's going to harvest itself into the end time New Age Messiah. And when we can find that Mulciber / Vulcan can also be found among the roles of the demonic who's who, we can see, now watch this, if Mulciber was the architect of Pandemonium, and Pandemonium was the capital of hell, and then during the ceremony we saw the band Pandemonium while the quote-unquote satanic mills, so that means that the mills and the factories belong to Satan, another layer of what they were showing us, the satanic mills was really a representation of the construction of the capital of hell. And here's the translation, folks. Today in the late summer of 2012, Vulcan / Mulciber is building Satan's earthly kingdom capital city of Pandemonium, the city where demons coexist with human cohorts and slaves. Meaning, now folks, please hear this. That means that evil spirits and demons are going to have a renewed role to turn the earth into their playground, into the satanic plantation of earth, which will be the city of Pandemonium. Folks, they showed us that they were building their city. It's under construction right now in the invisible realm. And if we had spiritual ears to hear, it could indeed be possible that we could hear the sound of satanic swinging hammers and pounding, excavators and satanic earth-moving equipment, building the walls of their new fortress, the halls of their new capital building. And folks, the demons and evil spirits who for a season had been at rest have been awakened. And during that ceremony, the portals were opened and the gateways were opened. And now those evil spirits are going to take part in the engineering and the formation of their framework and their courtyards and their buildings, where they are going to conduct evil on a scale unseen in the history of mankind. They revealed it to us, folks. So the big question is, how long is it going to take to construct this new framework? How long is it going to take to construct the new synagogues and temples that are going to be dedicated to Lucifer? Folks, this thing is happening now, and it's underway, and the people of God need to be awake to understand that this scheme is in motion. Now, up to this point, I have been sharing some of the accounts of how we can see that Vulcan is represented in the Olympics. And up to this point, I have presented that Vulcan is going to play a role in the end time New World Order philosophy. So for the remainder of this program, I'm going to talk about this. And I want to forewarn you that some of this information may become a little bit scary. And my purpose is not to scare you. However, we need to know about this information, folks, because by knowing, then we're going to be those that overcome. Now, so put on your seatbelt, folks. Have your pen and paper handy and take a lot of notes of these things that we're about to talk about. Now, to establish our purpose in what we're doing right now, I want it to be on record that the whole reason for this exercise is to seek after truth. We want the truth, folks. We need to know the truth. And Jesus said, by knowing the truth, we will be set free. And the Bible is our foundation of truth. And being that most of us can agree that we are living in the end times, then it would benefit us to know the truth about these matters. Now, of course, in seeking after the truth, we will need to filter through some of the lies and some of the deception. But the bottom line of this discipline is to find truth. As I have been evaluating all of these esoteric New Age groups, I find myself with a healthy level of concern because according to the, if I may use the term that they use, the quote-unquote plan of the New Age, there are some bullet points of events that they believe are going to happen to this world. There is a list of things that they want to see take place in this world. And the list of things that they want to see happen involve the population of this world, the residents of this world. They involve humanity. They involve us. So folks, as I have been examining what they have planned, there is a war against you, my friend. There is a war against your soul. And the purpose of that war is to destroy the faith of Christians. It's to destroy the faith of your children, relationships, of marriage. It's to destroy the knowledge of Christian truth that we need to maintain in our hearts. My friends, based on what I witnessed at the Olympic ceremony, they made an announcement. They have told us. They have sent the message. They released their hot air balloon with their message. There was so much symbolism that played a role in the elements of their Luciferian ritual. And this is what the message is. The world is about to change. And if we are residents of this world, we are going to witness that change. And that change is going to be conducted in several areas. It's going to affect our lives. This thing's going to trickle down because Satan is going to make sure that all areas of society become infected with the knowledge of his end time new world order. And in order for his end time new age to come to pass, his plan needs to happen. And his plan involves infiltrating all areas of society, including the church. He's going to make sure that the church becomes polluted with leadership that is compromised, who pretend to believe in the truth of God when in actuality they're an imposter and they believe in the craftiness of the New World Order, the darkness, the dark sentences. They believe in the satanic, demonic teachings of the New World Order. This is going to happen, folks. The Bible tells us so. And this infection, this infiltration is going to leak down and filter down into the education systems of the world. Translation. All the children of the world are going to be poisoned and indoctrinated to believe in the New Age. Folks, this is happening right now. By the way, side note, if you have children in public school, there is no way to sanitize this truth. If you have children in public school, they are being indoctrinated to believe in the New World Order. And here's the other thing, folks. They are being indoctrinated with the attempt to turn them into refined pagans. They are being taught about the world religion of paganism, worshiping the earth. And the worship of the earth translates into a lot of feel-good teachings like Earth Day and Greenpeace, etc., etc. But what it also does is it nullifies God. It takes God out of the picture. And when I say God, I'm talking about our Creator, Jehovah, the one and only great I Am, the only living God in the entire cosmos, in the entire universe. The only one, Jehovah, and Jesus, His Son, who is also God. They're being taken out of the equation. And when you take God out of the equation of children, then the end result is a bunch of heathen children who grow up and turn into hardened adulterers and criminals without their own moral compass. Folks, this thing is serious. Now, in an upcoming episode, I plan to go very deep into what they plan to do with our children. I was on the Rick Wiles program a few days ago, and I shared some of it, but I'm going to go very, very deep because I'm very concerned out of what I witnessed. Folks, the New World Order plan is huge. There's no other way to put it. And because God's going to let this thing happen, it's going to come to fruition, folks. The scriptures tell us in the book of Revelation that God's going to let this beast rise up. And then for a short season, it's going to take over the world. When it does this, it's going to be powered by Satan, the dragon, the fallen angel, Lucifer. He's going to power this thing. And it's going to be very potent. It's going to be very deceptive. It's going to have mass influence on all the residents of earth. And many Christians are going to fall for it. It's going to be so devious and deceptive in its presentation. Now, in the prophecy books that we have been shared with over the last few years, we have been given the presentation of how the quote-unquote Antichrist is going to take over the world. And folks, let me say this. The way that we have been told the Antichrist is going to take over, it's going to be done with way more deception. Satan is a genius at deception. There's no truth in him. He's been at this for a long time. And when this end time guru world leader shows up, the Bible tells us that the world's going to fall for it. They're going to believe it. Now, there will be some that resist it. There will be some that have the discernment to know that it's a lie. But for the most part, it's going to be received. It's even going to be received in churches. All of those big box mega churches that are out there, they're going to receive it. Nathan, how could you say that? Here's why, folks. Because the satanic plan that the Illuminati has had in play for several hundred years also includes infiltrating the church and getting the church leadership at the very top to be deceived with this plan. And over time, to take Christianity away from its biblical purity and to instead turn it into a mishmash, mosh pit of a bunch of different ideologies. And I'm going to go into some of those things in future programs. But these teachings are infecting the church now. And according to the Bible, it's going to happen. It will come to its fruition. People will be deceived because they had no love for the truth. Now, let's move on. And how does Vulcan play a role in this thing? The guru of the New Age movement is Alice Bailey. She wrote many books when she was possessed. Alice Bailey's writings and dark sentences are supported and promoted by Lucius Trust. To explain the role that Vulcan has in the teachings of Alice Bailey, I have to first share one thing. As I share this, folks, if you can, try to take some notes because we're going to start hearing about this information more and more in the future. Now, the New Age is a mosh pit of a lot of different ideals, but they do have some foundational beliefs that exceed the belief system of a lot of different religions. According to the New Age, there is no central teacher. There is no central foundational doctrine or tenets of faith, which means that if you're a New Ager, you don't have to exactly be a follower of Alice Bailey. You could instead be a Wiccan or a pagan or a witch or a warlock or a druid, or you can be part of the Freemason Fraternal Order. You can be in the Illuminati. You can be a Luciferian, etc., etc. You get to enjoy whichever religion you want to pick, but the religions need to be in the category of the occult, of the esoteric arts, the dark arts. The thing that the New Age has in common with all of these beliefs is this. And as I am sharing some of these things, if it wasn't so serious and if it wasn't so concerning, it actually appears silly. It appears silly, and if I may use layman terms, it's stupid. It's dumb. Because the big picture of what the New Age believes is just, it's so dumb. But at the same time, it's devilishly creative and evil. Now, this is what it is. The bottom line of the New Age Foundation religion has to do with theosophy. And theosophy is spelled T-H-E-O-S-O-P-H-Y. Theosophy. Now, theosophy is the teaching that, well, theo means deity, so theosophy is the New Age teaching that humans can reincarnate, and as they live each life, if they figure it out, they will be able to ascend into a higher level of spiritual knowledge. And if their knowledge increases high enough, then eventually they'll become God. Now, on the surface, just right there, since the very beginning, folks, of the Garden of Eden, way back then with Adam and Eve, Satan tried to convince Eve that she could be God, and he deceived her. And over the course of time, this has not changed. Because what Satan wants to do is, number one, take away the deity from the real and only true God, Elohim, Yahweh. He wants to take the lordship away from Jesus, because Jesus is also God, the creator of the universe. Jesus didn't move up in ascendancy. There's only one, folks. Now, I want to get that straight. On record, there is only one. There is God, and there is no other. When God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, he said, I am the Lord God, and there is none else. Period. But Satan wants to deceive humans. And one of Satan's purposes is to convince humans that they can be God. So that's what he has done. Over the last several thousand years, he has come up with creative religions that teach that this deception is possible. Now, theosophy. According to the New Age, and if you're taking notes, there are some key words to get familiar with, and this is one of them. It's called initiation. And most of you know how to spell that. I-N-I-T-I-A-T-I-O-N. New Age initiation. What that means is that in a human's existence, as a human lives their life, if they can figure out the secrets of the universe, the secrets of the spirit realm, and if they can get a hold of the teachings of the New Age that let them know that they can be enlightened, then they can move up in one level. Now, I want to explain the levels. And as I explain these levels, some of you may find yourself becoming angry and saying, you got to be kidding me, Nathan. Is this true? Yes, it's true, folks. Now listen to this. According to the New Age, the vast majority of people that are living on planet Earth right now are at the initiation level of zero. And right now, they're on probation. So, according to the New Age, most of you, especially if you're a Christian, you're on probation and you're at level zero. Also, these people that are at the level of zero have lived enough lifetimes and can go backwards hundreds and hundreds of years. You have been reincarnated over and over, but I'm sad to tell you, folks, you're still at level zero. You haven't figured it out, according to them. So that's level zero. It's probation. Level zero is below the first initiation. Now, according to Alice Bailey, when a person reaches their first initiation, they find themselves finally becoming enlightened, and the enlightenment happens in their spirit. In order to learn this enlightenment, you have to get a hold of the nonsense teachings of the light, and you need to learn the truth about Lucifer. Lucifer is the giver of light, and you need to experience the evolution of your human spirit. And if a person happens to achieve this enlightenment, which, by the way, When you look at the Masonic Lodge, when you look at the Masonic symbolism, and you see the triangle eyeball, that's the third eye chakra on the forehead. When a person has their third eye chakra enlightened, then they can reach the first initiation. Now watch this, folks. When a person reaches and passes their probation and goes into their first initiation, then they have attained what the New Age calls, now get this, folks, the I Am presence. That means they become an I Am. That's level one. Now, right off the bat, folks, how many of us can see that that's just blasphemy? For a human being to say that they are equal to the great I Am, God. But that's what this teaches. The goal of the New Age, get to the first initiation and you become an I Am. They also call this I Am experience, the first initiation, being quote unquote born again. Now, if one starts to read the teachings of the New Age, it is very obvious how Satan has taken Christian terminology and he has thrust them into the teachings of the New Age and redefined many of the words. And he has purposely done this so that individuals who are Christians and want to dabble with it, they might say, well, it's not so bad because they're using Christian terms and really they're explaining it better than the pastor did. So, hey, maybe this thing is true. It's very deceptive, folks. But level one is also the reborn new birth phase, the first initiation. Now, let me just stop for a second. Side note, according to the New Age, the entire earth, when it reaches the age of Aquarius, is going to thrust all of the population in mass all at once into the first initiation. And they believe that out of all the population of Earth, there are going to be many of the residents of Earth that do not qualify for this first level of initiation. Now get this, folks. Here's the fine print of their belief. For those people that do not qualify, then they're going to have to start all over again and get reincarnated and try again in another life in the future. So what that means is those people, if they cannot achieve the level of the first initiation, will be cleansed from the earth. And I'm going to talk more about that in a moment. But moving on, after a person reaches the first level of initiation according to the New Age, then they can qualify for the next level. Now they have to be in the first level for a lifetime, and then in their lifetime, they'll start figuring it out. And if they do figure it out, then they will experience the New Age baptism. And this is the second initiation. And when a New Ager reaches the second level of initiation, they start gaining spiritual power. They start gaining their godhood because each level allows them to ascend and experience the evolution of the human spirit. It continues to get stronger and more powerful. So at level two initiation, one gains, according to them, full control of their astral body. So what that means is they will then be able to travel on the astral plane. Their spirit can come out of their body when they're at home and walk around the neighborhood or fly around in the sky and then come back in their body. Astral projection, folks. That's at level two. Now, interestingly enough, Todd Bentley, the lying charlatan at the Lakeland Revival who was demon-possessed, was promoting astral travel. By the way, that's another side note. But that goes to show us, folks, that the teaching of the New Age is infiltrating the church. Astral travel is part of the New Age. Now, after an individual, a candidate, lives their next life at the second initiation and they can astral travel, then they become a candidate for level three. Level three is called the transfiguration. Now, you see, they continue to use Christian biblical terms, transfigured. And an individual who is at this level acquires the ability to be clairvoyant. So they can read minds. They can read other people's thoughts. They can read people. They can give words about people. They can know what's going to happen for people. They're a prognosticator. This is level three. After level three, then you have the fourth initiation. The fourth initiation is, now watch this, folks, it's called the crucifixion. And an individual who reaches the fourth initiation level, he's known as a perfected one, quote unquote. And when a person reaches this level, then they are able to then start to remember all of their past lives. Because according to the New Age, all of humanity has lived many times over. So a New Age person gets to know all of their past lives and who they were, etc. Moving on, at level 5, the fifth initiation is called the resurrection. And at the resurrection fifth level, it allows people to be able to teleport moderate distances around your neighborhood or around your city. So, in other words, you can be at someone's house and then you can snap your fingers and you disappear, and then you can go somewhere else and you reappear somewhere else. You teleport. Also, these individuals at this level are able to levitate a little bit. Now, so far we're at level 5, and folks, does it sound a little bit creepy? Does it sound a little bit odd? Does it sound weird? Or here's another question, folks. Does it sound a little bit enticing? Is it enticing to be able to do this? Well, this is all a lie. This is not true. The book of Hebrews says, it is appointed unto men once to die, and then after this, the judgment. Now, interestingly enough, in all of the writings of the New Age, the word sin is not included. Sin is not a bad thing. Sin doesn't exist. There is no such thing as bad, as morally wrong choices. There's just choices. And if the choices aren't that smart or aren't that wise, instead of them being sin, they're called bad karma. So the person that commits a bad deed will, in their next life, have to suffer because they did a bad deed in their previous life. So karma takes care of sin. And this spreads across the gamut of Eastern mysticism and Eastern religion, which includes Hinduism and Buddhism and all those other isms. When you have people in these third world countries who are infected with these beliefs, and if they happen to be poor, like in India, if you have a guy that's poor or he's blind or he's crippled, he's diseased, because they believe in karma, they think that that guy is living his lesson. He's being punished. So leave him alone. Don't interrupt what karma is doing. The cosmos can take care of it. So don't get involved. And that's why in India, there's a lack of compassion for poor people. Because if anyone is born at a lower caste level, then it's because they did something bad in their previous life. Interesting, huh, folks? That Satan has infiltrated the belief system and has, in one swipe, nullified the requirement for compassion for fellow man, for the love that Jesus instructs us to do. So moving on, after level 5, we get to level 6. Now, level 6 is called the ascension or masterhood. And when a person reaches masterhood, they also acquire the ability to teleport. They can also levitate anywhere on earth. And when a person reaches this level, for the most part, they no longer need a human body. And according to the New Age, when Jesus was on earth, he finally reached masterhood. In fact, the New Age believes that on January the 1st, now listen to this, folks. On January the 1st, 1956, Jesus, who had been at level 6 for a few thousand years, moved up to level 7. So Jesus is a level 7 initiate now. But he was at the level of ascension, because that's what happened to him after he rose again, according to the New Age. So Jesus was just living his life, and the things that he went through were to experience the evolutionary process of the New Age cosmos. Now, when a person reaches the 6th initiation, as I stated, they no longer need a human body, and instead they can become a ray of light. Instead of a body, their spirit is light. And that light can live on one of the planets and shine from one of the planets. It can live on the sun, it can live on Venus or Saturn or Mercury, and it shines. It's called one of the rays of light. Now it's starting to get a little bit sci-fi and goofy, but this is what they believe. Now, moving on to level 7. Now watch this, folks. At level 7, then they become an avatar, or they finally achieve Christhood. They become a Christ. And according to the New Age, now watch this. The 7th initiation is known as the initiation of Buddha, or the avatar, which Hinduism teaches. And according to the New Age, not many people have got to this level. Not many humans, very few. But there is, according to them, a world teacher whose name is Maitreya. And Maitreya has reached level 7. And Maitreya is an entity who is known by different names in different religions. But Maitreya is known as Krishna by the Hindus, or he's known as Christ by the Christians. He's known as Maitreya by the Buddhists. He's known as the Messiah by the Jews. He's known as the Imam Mahdi by the Muslims, and also a number of other names. Folks, do you see what we have happening now? The New Age, according to their teaching, nullifies the deity of Jesus and makes Jesus just another human who moved up in the ranks. He was able to pass the test, so to speak. But he's not alone, because other people have also passed the test. I know that some of this sounds crazy, but being that the New Age considers Jesus one of the ascended masters, and being that the New Age uses Christian terminology, then we can start seeing that the New Age, as it expands all the gamuts of the mosh pit of the Eastern religion, when they use Christian terminology, then they are placing a veil over what it really means. And the true meaning has to do with deception. The true meaning has to do with the Garden of Eden, where Satan told Eve, "You can become like God." And here he is doing it once again, and this time he has convinced a large portion of the world that this is truth. The nation of India has over 1 billion people, and most of them are Hindus. That means that most of them believe this. The same thing with other nations. Now, according to Benjamin Cream, now Benjamin Cream is one of the New Age gurus. He's getting up there now. I believe he's in his 80s, or he might even be a little bit older. Well, Benjamin Cream is one of the teachers of the New Age, and he says, he's written a lot of books on this nonsense. He's a demon-possessed guru of the New Age, and he has said that a spirit that is at this level has the ability to teleport to any place in the solar system. So they can do planet jumping. You know, they can have a picnic on Mars, and then at night they can go to Saturn. Or if they don't like it there, they can go to Mercury and just jump around. They can enjoy the whole solar system as their playground. And he goes on to say that unless one of these spirits is in a hurry, it's actually a lot easier though to, and it uses less energy to instead just take a flying saucer. I'll give you a moment to stop laughing, because you see, folks, you see what I mean? How some of it just sounds dumb? Okay, so you have these spirits that can teleport anywhere, but it's easier to take flying saucers. And Benjamin Cream also said that beings at this level are invulnerable. You can't hurt them with bullets. They're invincible. You can't stab them. You can't kill them. They're invincible. They're even invincible to fire. Benjamin Cream even said this: you could explode a nuclear bomb next to them and it wouldn't hurt them, because they have moved up to this level. So you see, folks, it's starting to sound like, according to the New Age, when these people move up and ascend in the evolutionary path of the spirits of the cosmos, they can become superheroes. They can teleport. They're bulletproof. They can disappear. Kind of sounds like a bunch of X-Men New Agers, doesn't it? Can you imagine the commercial that the End Time Beast is going to use to tell people that they can be a part of this? A large portion of the world believes in this nonsense. And according to the Bible, as I have been examining this teaching, it appears that it's connected to the Age of Aquarius, and it appears that it's connected with the belief of the soon-coming Maitreya Mahdi Messiah, world teacher. And by the way, I'm going to share something about that that's going to be very, very interesting and shocking and surprising on one of the prophetic curveballs that I believe is coming to this planet. But let me go on real quick. After level 7, the spiritual biblical terms are done away with, and then we are found with silly terms, because level 8 is called Buddhahood. The 8th level is the level of Buddha. Why is it the level of Buddha? Well, it's because Mr. Buddha, who at one time lived, I guess, as the man, the guy that you rub his belly, they made statues about, you know that guy? Apparently, Buddha is at level 8, and Jesus is at level 7. And you see what Satan has done? He has made regular humans higher than Jesus. It becomes nonsense. But anyway, according to the New Age, when a person reaches level 8 of Buddhahood, they no longer use their mouth. All communication at this level is entirely by telepathy. And beings at this level can freely roam, not just in the solar system, they can roam both in interplanetary space and in nearby interstellar space. So I guess the fat guy Buddha is hanging out in the solar system somewhere. Benjamin Cream also said that beings at this level can also teleport as far as the star Sirius. So I guess they no longer need to purchase airline tickets because they can go a lot further. Now, let's look at level 9. And folks, I know it's starting to sound dumb, and I believe that it's important that I share these things because in the days ahead, if we are living in the last days and the end time new world order is going to rise as we are anticipating, then we need to know how they think. And we also need to know that it's deceptive and that it's not true and that it's a lie from Satan. Level 9. Now watch this, folks. At level 9, the person reaches, now here's the word. Now watch this, folks. Godhood. And right now at level 9, there is one being, according to the New Age, that has made it to level 9. And this being is higher than Buddha, who's at level 8. And this being is also higher than Jesus, that's at level 7. Now, if you have a pen and paper, folks, write this down because you're going to see how silly the devil is. Okay, the name of the being at level 9 has a name called S-A-N-A-T, Sanat. He goes by Sanat Kumara, and the other word is K-U-M-A-R-A, Sanat. Now, right there is an anagram, folks. If you have your pen and paper, just rearrange the third and the fifth letter and switch them. And what name do you have? Satan. The New Age calls the being at level 9 Sanat, and they call him the Lord of the World, the Eternal Youth, the Ancient of Days. And they say that he is the governing deity of planet Earth. Interesting, huh, folks? Satan, in teaching humans that they could be God, also threw in his own little trophy by telling the little impy humans that, oh, by the way, you can be God, but I'm way up there already. So Satan has told the New Agers that he's at level 9. And at level 9, the powers and abilities are massive. They say that at this level, the consciousness is so strong and so extended that all of the people's thoughts in the entire world can be listened to all at once by this being. He can know all the thoughts, so that makes him omniscient. He knows everything. And also, at this level, the being can make large objects materialize. He can create things. And he has the ability to affect the things happening on other planets. So level 9, folks, Satan. Right about now, how many of you are just shaking your head and saying, Nathan, are you serious? They really believe this? Yeah, they do. Alice Bailey has written all about this. Benjamin Cream writes about it. And today, the writers of the New Age, there are many of them. Barbara Marx Hubbard. I could go on and on. There's a bunch of them that believe in this. After level 10, now, I'm going to only share two more levels because it's starting to just be silly. But that was level 9, Godhood. At level 10, now watch this, folks. I guess when Satan came up with these personalities and topics, he was maybe getting sleepy toward the end because level 10 is not very creative. In fact, it sounds kind of goofy. But level 10 initiation is called Planetary Logos. And that's two words. Planetary, and then Logos is L-O-G-O-S, Logos. I guess some people could say it's Planetary Logos, but it's Logos. And how interesting is it that in the Bible, the Word of God is called the Logos of Scripture, the Word. It's the Word of God. Well, in order for Satan to twist it, he calls level 10 a Planetary Logos, or if we were to interpret that, a Planetary Word. Now, when a being gets to this level, they can actually become a living planet. They can become the incarnate spirit inside of a planet. And according to their teaching, lo and behold, folks, here on Earth, the Planetary Logos is called Gaia. Or, in other words, Mother Nature, Mother Earth, etc., etc. So, based on the New Age, by this little trickery right here, this means that the Earth is higher than many of the other teachers that we just mentioned. The Earth is higher than Jesus. The Earth is even higher than Buddha and Krishna and Maitreya. So with a little bit of deception and teaching, now people can worship the Earth. That makes the New Age want to worship the Earth. It means that the Earth has a conscience. It means you can pray to the Earth. It means you can make requests to the Earth. And as I noticed, in the Olympic ceremony, we saw a lot of different rituals going on. All right, folks. Well, as I'm looking at the time, it looks like part four of this series, what you're listening to right now, is going to need two segments. So this audio that you're listening to right now is part 4A. So now, please go to part 4B. It can be found on my website, watchmanscry.com, and go to the image on the right side of the home page where you'll see the words Table of Contents, and all of the parts and the notes of this series are in that growing library. So I'll see you in a few minutes. God bless.